Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
We have Quentin Kittle, architect, here on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
It's great to be here.
And you are also a board member of AIA, the American Institute of Architects.
Correct.
Now, I got to know this organization really well because I was honored to be asked to MC the Design Awards ceremony this past year. And during my opening shtick, by the way, how did I do?
Oh, excellent. Well, it was excellent.
I raised the bar. Interjecting
totally
humor
bar.
Into this, yes. I think, for maybe the first time ever. So I didn't know what was going to go on. But during my opening shtick, because we kind of treated it like the Oscars, you know, how the Oscars host will come out and they'll do like, 10 minutes. I did five.
I was disappointed you didn't sing.
Oh, well, hey.
Next year.
It's another year next year. We'll see.
We'll bring that up on the board.
Raise the bar even more. What song would I sing for architects?
I don't know. We'll figure something out. You could at least do the boring song, the So Long Frank Lloyd Wright from Simon and Garfunkel. They were architectural students.
Okay. Well, that would kind of bring it down a little bit.
That's another bummer. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
I will consider that. But anyway, so during my opening shtick, I mentioned that, I had never had an architect on the show. So we got you down here to talk about it and what AIA is, maybe some of the projects that you've worked on here in the city. So yes, excuse my naivete, which of course did provide for a lot of humor on the night of the awards. But what is an architect? It's aside from what George Costanza pretended to be on Seinfeld.
Well, as a loaded question as it is, the architects, I will tell you, we are obviously designers. It's a combination of art and science and technology and then the human factor that goes into it. You know, when you start a building and you think about what's going into it, there are a lot of questions that you ask, why, who, what, those things. Mm-hmm. And you have to learn to be the listener to find out what your clients really, really want to have in your building. And at the end of the day, it is for human shelter. As long as it's been, that's been our goal of providing human shelter. And we combine all of the arts and all of our science and technology and engineering into creative, masterful, sometimes not so masterful, but functional, sometimes not so great.
Yeah.
Buildings and shelters for the end user.
So what are some examples of some projects that you were responsible for here in Pittsburgh?
Recently, we did a small, there was the old romp and roll skating rink out in Shaler that had closed down, sadly enough, and we converted that into a new office space, and that was a prime example of listening to what the owner and the occupants needed. And probably, I think we kind of changed their culture from what they were and made them a little bit more high tech, even though they're a little bit, they're kind of low key kind of guys. They're not the Googles and the Ubers and all those guys.
So they didn't maintain the skating feature, I guess.
Well, we did keep some of the floor in some of the rooms.
They can't go around delivering mail on skates.
No, we tried to get them to do that, but I think they balked on that.
But that's a good point because, at what point then?
Did you take a drink already?
I did. Oh, you got to catch up over here. At what point do you put, your own artistic ideas aside for, the functionality that the client's looking for? It seems kind of tough that you might not ever really get to express yourself artistically because of the strict needs of the
Sometimes
client.
Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just have to, there are times that we know sometimes what we think might be the best and feel what's the best, but the client has their own taste and their own dreams and goals, mm-hmm. and you got to make sure you live to that because, in the end, and I tell a lot of my clients and I try to tell most of my, colleagues and things that at the end that it's their building, it's their house, they're going to be dwelling in it. So when it's a private thing, you have to respect and know that that's what's going to be the end user. When you have a public place, it's a different way because you have so many different people, and so many different things that you can see and experience when you walk into a public building that not everybody gets. It's just, I mean, in the arts world, you know, there you walk by and see some art sometimes and you go, what the heck is that?
Yeah, I wouldn't pay a dime for it.
Yeah, what the heck is that? And yet, you know, it sells for, you know, well,
I know,
4 or 5 million bucks
right.
a pop, you know.
So a lot of it, I guess, just has to come down to taste, you know.
It's taste.
But functionality, too.
But functionality.
So in your mind, what is your favorite example of a piece of architecture that is just so perfect in form and function? Like, what is your angelic view of how it should be? Is there an example? Is there such a
thing? Here in Pittsburgh, I will tell you, it's the stairs at the Carnegie International Museum, at the Scaife Gallery.
Oh, wow.
The stairs that have the glass wall.
And, yeah.
Anything that's in that international mode just really, you know, sonic sets me in that time frame. I think it's a beautiful building. I think it's aesthetically very pleasing.
It's very specific. The stairs at the Carnegie Museum.
You know, and it's just that addition, because when they built the Scaife, they put that thing on there and attached it to the modern music. So I believe. So I think that that's just a beautiful, beautiful building. It's clean, it's open, it's very modern. And it's kind of, the beauty of it is it's sort of tucked away behind the back. You don't really see it every single day.
Now, do you know who was responsible for that design?
Wasn't me.
Well, see, that's what I feel bad for you guys, because you achieve all these wonders and yet nobody really knows, you know, there's not a big signature on it, like a major artist or something. I think architects a lot of times are the unsung heroes. It's like the man behind the curtain.
There are a lot of projects that, you know, that I could mention and go on about and that either I did with other firms or currently on my own. But that's it. You know, you drive by with pride. Just like in the arts and entertainment world, you have your starchitects, and you know, you can see when there are the buildings that those cats did. You know that they're the ones, and that's not the normal realm. I think those guys have a certain design standard, a design practice, and everything kind of looks their look. And I get that. And, good architecture just adapts to the site, the person using it, your budgets, and those are huge, the technology that's going into it, and those things all mold it together. And you try not to just have a set of conclusions. I call it my same old bag of tricks sometimes when I feel like we're getting, like, the same stuff looking. Mm-hmm. So you try to be a little bit careful to that. So you don't make the same thing over and over again. I mean, Frank Gehry is the classic one. You can see his buildings wherever you go, and you know they're his. Calatrava is kind of the same way. And, you know, I butcher these guys' names because they're hard names. The building speaks for those guys themselves. And so I think that, art and architecture, when it combines, what's that? There's some philosopher, Gödel, some German dude, I don't know. He talked about architecture being just like the note in music forever, kind of thing, frozen notes. And he's right about that, you know, because, and I don't know much about the guy, but, you know, that topic really rang true with me because it's forever. It's that one piece of symphony, that one piece of music. It's a tone. It plays that tone whenever you walk by it. It's got that look and feel whenever. So it's kind of a brilliant statement. Unfortunately, you know, as you could probably imagine, there's some songs that are out there on the streets that probably aren't all that great. Probably sound like Yoko Ono music to many people.
Now, hey, she's had some success, though.
Hey, well, you know, those buildings serve a purpose, right? Point made.
They block out the sun.
They block out the sun. They keep the rain out.
Perch for pigeons.
You know, yep. And it gets its job done. It gets its job done. And she got her job done. And hey, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I guess, you know, John Lennon felt that she was a beautiful, very talented woman.
I never thought this conversation we'd find ourselves talking about Yoko Ono as far as architecture is concerned. But how do you feel Pittsburgh ranks as an arena to design within for an architect?
I think I've been here. I moved here in '88, and I found Pittsburgh to be exceptionally provincial, in just the way that sometimes that they do things. They, you know, very practical. They really like their things. I think it's gotten better over the last 10 years or so. I think we've pushed the envelope instead of just the square box, the buildings that, you know, they just kind of look all the same, and the developer strip malls and those things. I think we've pressed the envelope a little bit on that, and it's a good thing. I actually am excited about the future. I think we're going to find more competitive design and beautiful structures. You know, the stuff that Carnegie Mellon's doing is just outstanding. Of course, they have the money to do that, so they're free to
do
that.
Important piece of the
puzzle. That's a big piece of the puzzle. And but also, I think we also know how to make nice, really nice, competent, design sensitive, and solution sensitive architecture on a fairly tight budget. Mm-hmm. And I think we do, as Pittsburgh, proud by that.
Yeah, it's a very, it's becoming a very recognizable skyline.
Yeah.
You know, with some of the unique buildings we have. Now, we said at the top of the program, you are a board member of AIA, American Institute of Architects,
right.
The Pittsburgh chapter.
The Pittsburgh chapter.
Here. So does every city, major city, have an AIA chapter?
Pretty much every major city. I think we cover a little bit more towards the middle part of the state as well. They have some chapters, you know, they have some organizations.
Does Philadelphia have one?
Yeah.
So okay, so we're kind of meeting in the middle with Philadelphia.
Yeah, kind of cover that stuff, you know.
So what exactly?
Can I talk badly about Philadelphia?
Can you talk badly about Philadelphia?
No, that's okay.
You can say whatever you want.
I'll behave myself.
But we're not going to get into sports or anything like that here. You know? But what does AIA do for architects and for the community?
Well, first, it is an organization to one promote our goals, promote our economic, social, and professional agenda. To the community at large. We try to give information to people who maybe have never worked with an architect and want to know what the process is, want to know what we do, the things that we can provide, the things that we can't provide, and what our value is to a project. And, you know, we design solutions, if you know, you can sort of sum it up in a couple of words. And we want to promote that to the population in general. You know, your naivety that you mentioned is not uncommon. You know, a lot of people don't know what architects really do. You know, we just kind of wear black turtlenecks and cool glasses and look cool. You know, except me.
I mean, not a bad career as far as I'm
concerned. Not a bad career, yeah. You know, not a bad career. But I think we try to promote that message.
Mm-hmm.
We want our agendas for community, our communities, our we have a pretty strong pack to talk about some of the social issues of housing, economics, you know, taxes that are going on and things of that nature. And that's a message that we try to promote to just the general folks.
Great. So how can we learn more about Association of Architects? Or
you take the cheap route, just go online.
You know? A very comprehensive website.
Yeah, this is a pretty comprehensive website, and there's a lot of, they have seriously, it's like a 40-page pamphlet that they hand out to architects to help them get the message across.
And what was really neat about the Design Awards ceremony last year, so when the 2017 awards,
right.
Is that anybody can vote on the
there's
the
People's Choice Award,
People's Choice. You can see some of the projects that have been done,
right.
And you can cast your vote for which one you think has the best design qualities,
right.
Which I thought was really neat. So it's very inclusive to all of us, really.
And it's interesting. We promote it on our social medias to get people to vote, and because a lot of people don't know that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that I would love to be able to let everybody know, to go and support that stuff. It's first of all, it's important for the firms to know that people acknowledge their work, and it's also important for some of the firms that aren't the big profile firms to see their projects get a little recognition as well. Because, you know, not everybody gets a skyscraper or a big, you know, CMU project. And when you do, yeah, good for you. But, you know, our work is, you know, and the other firms that are around need that recognition. And I think it's a really good thing. And I wish more people knew about it.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really social event, too. You know, I mean, is there any other type of event that gets all you guys together like that, that, you know, brings all the architects in Pittsburgh together like that?
Where there's Pittsburgh Build, and or Build Pittsburgh, and then Design Pittsburgh, which is what you attended and hosted. And there are a couple of other events. You know, the AIA conference that's annual is pretty big. We have, I think, the... the Build Pittsburgh is mostly just an event that is for educational, you know, continuing education and seminars and product reps and things to come about that. But that night's just a fun celebration of us and who we are and what our organization is.
So as somebody who always has, I guess, an eye on good design and who works quite a bit here in Pittsburgh, what would you change structurally about this city if you could?
That what a bulldozer would solve, or
I'm not going to put any shackles on that. I mean, think big. I mean, I even geography. If something could just, I mean, I think budget were no issue.
Budget were no issue. Honestly, transportation. I think that's the downfall. I think when the transportation, and it's always been a long-standing issue with me since I moved here. I lived overseas and relied on train transportation, and I would love to see that come about. It's not very easy getting around Pittsburgh in a car, but you have to because there's no transportation. It's this push me pull me kind of problem that goes on. And if we had, I think, better rail, more dedicated bus lanes or something like that to just ease up on the traffic and not have so many people be reliant on their automobile. And listen, I'm near gearhead, so it's hard for me to say that, but my car can stay in the driveway and I can still get to work, you know, kind of thing.
Well, we have bike lanes now.
Yeah, but you get all sweaty and gross when you get to work.
I know.
And, you know, so.
Down in the cultural district.
And they, listen, I'm a suburb dweller, so, you know, they don't have a bike lane coming out that way and they won't get one, so.
Well, baby steps.
Baby steps.
But I mean, is there anything that an architect can do independently to enact major change along those lines, outside of maybe just being hired for a project, a design for a project?
It's for the transportation side. You know, that's all governmental stuff, and you know, we voice our concern what they do to communities, and what most highways. You know, well, when they design a highway, they'll just split a town in half without any regard. And it causes good neighborhood, bad neighborhood,
yeah,
right off the bat. So, you know, we have voiced our, as the AI national and local chapters, we have voiced our concerns about some of the highway plans. I really don't know what the official message is for, like, the Southern Beltway. What do they call it? The Monfayette Express.
Oh, yeah.
That's huge. I mean, it's a huge thing. And I have a kind of conflicting agreement and disagreement with it, because I understand why it's important, because it changes traffic patterns and frees up other traffic patterns. But then again, when they go through and just take out swath of lands and homes, and you know, people are just dislodged and the homes are destroyed and the neighborhoods are destroyed, and that's tough for me. You know, that's just totally tough for me. So I think we stay on top of that task with federal and local governments and state governments to get that message to, let's be sensitive about what we do when we just go rip apart a town.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the kind of things that I think architects can do to kind of voice their statements to that.
That's great. Yeah. So the architects are important. It's our conclusion.
Sure,
today.
We're important. Just ask us. We'll tell you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, of course we are.
And so is AIA, and we're glad to have a chapter here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I think it does a lot of good for everybody.
It's a vibrant group, and it's a... You know, they have a pretty good party every year.
Yes, and yeah. I can attest to that. I do. I hope I get invited again this year. I'm going to cross my fingers.
So I have a... Well, I just won't tell that story. It's okay. The one girl says that, you know, her husband always makes the joke, and I'm borrowing this joke, and I probably will you know, butcher it pretty badly, but says that I've never met a group that puts the A in alcoholics like the architects do, kind of phrase that we are the alcoholics of the AI, or what's that? Alcoholics Anonymous.
Now,
I didn't
really
do that
true?
Very well.
Is that really true, though? Because there's a lot of professions that get that rap. Like, people say that about airline pilots. Do you think there's a lot of professions that are always associated with heavy drinking? Is
that
really true?
I don't think it's really heavy. We're not heavy drinkers.
No,
we're partake
totally
a few.
Tea over
you
here.
Know, it's water, anyway. So, no, I don't know that it's that bad. But we know how to have a good time when we're together and talk about ourselves.
Very good.
You know, which we're really good about talking
about
ourselves.
Work hard, play hard.
That is my motto and my firm. I will tell you that as a matter of fact.
Good deal.
When I offer kids a job, that's the first thing I tell them. We work hard and we play hard.
Fantastic.
There you go.
Well, thank you for giving us some insight into a little bit about what you do and about what AIA does. Fascinating, fascinating business, sir.
Yeah.
So cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to good design in Pittsburgh.
And good design and good martinis.
Well, indeed.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.